Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and my guest today is indeed a smart person. His name is Gabe Nelson. He is a father, a husband, and a financial advisor who helps people set themselves up to live the life they want. His practice specializes in serving entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. And hey, Gabe, welcome to the show, man.
Rob, thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so let's kind of jump into it this way. Tell me a little bit about your backstory, because nothing personal, but financial advisor sounds kind of, don't be offended, it sounds a little bit boring, cut and dry, like accountant, financial advisor, all of those things are the people that help you, but sometimes it doesn't seem like a real fun and glamorous deal.
That's a great way to put it. That's actually what I thought when I was in college and I looked at the industry. I came right out of college into the insurance and financial services industry, and I morphed into the financial advisory world. But you are right. It does not sound like the most exciting thing. But somehow, some way, when I was in college, I got a taste of being self-employed. And when I got a taste of being self-employed, I understood that big word that people love to strive for, and that's called freedom. And once I understood that word freedom, I started looking at careers that I could go into when I, A, had no money, B, didn't know a ton of people with money, and I didn't have any like these ideas that I could go and like create a product or, you know, create something that I could go sell. So I went right into the insurance and financial service industry for one reason only. It was freedom. It was the freedom to be able to create what I wanted. And what I realized is it's a business of relationships. It's all about relationships. And so, and I am like the perfect person to be in this type of business because I love relationships. Every time I talk to somebody new, every time I help a client, every time I help people who aren't even my clients, it's like a little bit of an I love you that I get back. It's like, okay, here we go. And so that I learned over time is what really just fires me up. And so you're right. It's kind of a boring business until you get to the relationship. That's where the fun comes in.
Okay. I so agree with you. I actually had a guest a while back, Sean Lardo, and he talked about just that, that business, building a business is about building relationships. And it's, you know, for me, it's all about the people that are a part of what you're doing and the people that are impacted by what you're doing. And so let me give you my parallel. You know, I've got my speaking business and I talk about quality healthcare from a patient's perspective. And it's the reminder for medical professionals of why is it that people come into your office, right? People are not there because you are the end all and be all of everything. People are there because they want to continue their life. They're there for a wellness visit. They're there because they want to get back to their life. You know, they have a cold and they can't go to work. Or they're there because they have to adapt to a new life circumstance where, you know, they have a baby now and they've got to figure out how to move forward with that. But it's all about understanding people in the context of what are their goals, what are their ambitions, and how do you help them move toward those. And to me, that sounds like exactly what you're doing. You're building relationships to understand where do people want to go and how do you help them get there. Does that work for you?
100%. That's exactly what I do. People will ask me, like, hey, what do you do? I said, well, I'm kind of like a guide. I'm not kind of a guide. I am a guide. I'm going to take you out on a treacherous hike and I'm going to take you around and we're going to go out. Let's just say it would be on the trails. I'm going to be the one's going to say, hey, watch out for this corner here because this is coming up. And then this next piece is coming up. And then when something changes, I've got all these tools in this backpack that I can pull out and go, hey, here's what we're going to do next. Or here's what's going to happen next. And it all starts with that relationship and that trust, because generally when you go hire a guide to lead you through something, you have a tendency to trust them. They're an expert for that area. All right, help me get through this trail, this activity, this financial plan, whatever it might be. So,
okay, when clients come to you, are they coming with an end purpose already in view, or is that something that needs to be crafted and molded as you're building that relationship?
Generally, it needs to be crafted and molded. One of the things that happens a lot in financial advisor circles or financial planner circles. And when we all get together and we chat is, you know, people don't always know what their goals are. And so when we ask them, well, what are your goals? Well, I don't know what my goals are. I want to live well. I want to have some freedom and I want to retire when I want to. Okay. That's the beginning of a goal. Now that's kind of a vision. Let's start to put that together and figure out what steps we need to take to get us there. But most of the time, people don't truly understand what their goals are. What they do is understand a little bit of a vision where they want to go. But the reason they're coming to people like myself is they don't know what to do next and they're stuck. So they go, help me get to my goals. They don't say it that clearly, but help me get to my goals is really what people want.
So what's the process that you take people to or take people through in order to help them establish those goals and to help them figure out, okay, I've got kind of this nebulous thought of like, I want to live well, I want to be comfortable, I want to have money to retire with, to take care of my family or whatever. What's the process that you're going through to help them understand that, to help them clarify exactly what those goals are?
That's a great question. I go through a process where I start with an understanding of really of like a vision for life is where I have a tendency to start. And it was something I adapted from the coaching world. And it's actually in my book, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but it's called a life wheel. And this life wheel is an assessment that you can kind of do on your own to understand where is your life right now? Like, are you on track to achieve your financial goals? You may not know, but how are you showing up as a spouse or a partner or a significant other? And that's a little, it's like a pie. And then there's another one might be, activity. Maybe are you doing the activities you want to do? Do you live in the areas of the country you want to live? How's your business operating? How are your relationships with your family? Things like that. And so we get an understanding, and it sounds a little touchy-feely for a financial advisor, but I believe that if we can get an understanding of where you want to go with your life, then what we can do is take that next step and get an understanding where is all of your, what I would call your financial, for lack of a put it, mess? Where is everything? How do we need to get it organized in a way so that we can then start to help it build that path of where you're trying to go? And so my process starts with an initial conversation of where are we trying to go? Then we go down into what I call a discovery period. And that discovery period is what's going on in your whole situation and what do you have in place? What do you have with your finances? Where are you at with your life? Where do we want to go? And how do we get those things to work together? And then I create a plan. During that plan, I sit back and I take all of the notes and everything that we've gathered of all the questions that I've asked and the information that you would have shared with me. And I create a financial plan as a basis of here's our starting point. This is where we're going to go. And then as things change, the market changes, your life changes, taxes change, law changes, all kinds of changes. We continuously craft and mold and make that plan continuously work for you as we continue to work through life, constantly updating it throughout your life.
Okay. There's a lot of entrepreneurs and solopreneurs out there who are basically paying the bills and getting by, and there's not a whole lot of planning for the future. What can you share with them to say, you know, to encourage them in this? Because sometimes you get so wrapped up in what's right in front of you that you aren't taking a look at down the road. So what kind of advice can you offer in that situation?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would say is slow down. Slow down, take a step back and think about how you're running your life and how you're running your practice. I'm not saying take 5 days off. I'm saying take a couple hours and just sit back and look at your business and look at your life. And if you're happy with where that is, okay, how can you make that better? If you're not happy with where that is, then what you need to start thinking about with your business and your practice and your finances and whatever else is going on is what are some of the things that you can control that you have the expertise in that you could start to tweak. And then if you need or want to bring someone in this case, talking about financial planning, seek out some advice from your friends, find some referrals to say, here's where I'm trying to go. I need some help. Now, if we go back though, into what you had said, some of them are just getting by. And so if you're just getting by, like literally just getting by financially, then the first thing I have to say is go back and look at your expenses. Is there anything you're paying for that you don't need to be paying for? We're all guilty of subscriptions. We're all guilty of things going on the credit card, continuously renewing every month, every year, and we don't remember where they are. We just keep paying the bills. The next thing I would look at is, are you charging enough for what you do? Are you charging for the value that you bring? And therefore, you are starting to gain the money and the revenues and the profits that you're supposed to be gaining. So the example I see a lot is someone leaves a company, and let's just call them a consultant of some kind. They leave a company as a consultant. They go start their own consulting firm. They go back and start working with whatever clients they've had in the past after the non-competes are gone, all that good stuff. But they knew they were being billed out, and I'm just going to use an arbitrary number of $100 an hour. So they're going to go back and bill out at $100 an hour. Well, what happens is most entrepreneurs, especially solopreneurs, they look at it and go, holy buckets, I need to live. I got to get any client I can get on. And when they go to get any client they can get on, they kind of lowball their pricing a little bit, or they go bill what they were doing before, but they forget there's taxes that need to be paid. There's benefits that you don't have anymore. There's overhead. Even if you operate out of your house, you're going to have expenses from running your business. And so what I would say is, if you're just getting by, figure out if you're charging the right amount of money. Then the next thing I would say is check your expenses. Do those at the same time, but you know what I mean.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. It's actually, I was in a seminar with a guy named David Newman. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. He's a marketing guy, but he was talking about scaling your business. Okay. And that is, take a look at what you're doing right now and what you're charging for it. And if you're going to make, and we'll just start with this, you want to make $100,000 a year. How many hours a week do you have to work? What do you have to charge? How many clients do you need every week? If you want to make $200,000 a year, what do you have to, how many hours? And then the next, if you want to make $500,000 a year, okay, now, and you begin to look not just at the logistics of what are the services that you're offering, but are there ways to adapt the services so that you are earning more per hour than just maybe, as you talked about with a consultant, where you're doing one-on-one work, or is there a way to create additional higher streams of revenue based on, you're kind of looking at your business model, so to speak. I think that's a, definitely makes sense. So if somebody is saying, okay, I'm thinking about working with a financial planner, but what do I need to know before I even go in to have this conversation? Like, what do I need to bring into this? Where do we start? Is there kind of a base level of information or strategy or thoughts that someone needs to have in order before starting a relationship with a financial planner?
Simple answer, no. Don't worry about having anything together other than, where are you trying to go? Take a minute and think about, where are you trying to go, and reach out and interview some financial advisors and help them understand where you're trying to go and see if they know how to get you there. And you can tell in an initial conversation whether it's a right fit. My initial conversation is 15 to 20 minutes long. I'm trying to determine, do these people want to go where I can take them? And if they want to go where I can take them, then I'm a great fit. Then we go to the next stage. And in the next stage, I say, I need your tax returns for the last 2 years. I need to see checking accounts. I need to see savings accounts. I need to see your will. I need to see your corporate structure. I need to see your retirement accounts, your college savings accounts, your life insurance, your disability insurance, that whole list. But I have a list. Okay. I give them the list and say, here, I need you to bring this. But the initial conversation, in my opinion, is, A, does this person have the ability to get me there? And B, do I like them? And C, can I start to trust them? And so, I mean, you're not going to have trust in 15 minutes most of the time. Maybe you will. But the simple answer is start to interview the person. So I'm talking about this from a consumer standpoint. Interview the person and think about those three things. A, all right, can this person get me to where I want to go? B, do I like them? C, Can I start to build some trust? If I can get those things out of the way as a consumer, now I can start to build the relationship. And then I can, if I trust them, I'm going to be willing to give them all of my information because that's how they help us.
Yeah. I see the parallels here. I had on the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, I had Anton Gunn, who was a guy who helped President Obama with the Affordable Care Act. But he said, there are three questions that you have to answer for everybody that you work with. First is, do you care about me? Will you help me? And can I trust you? And it seems like that's exactly what you just hit on there. Is this someone that I like and that I can work with? Is this someone that is going to be able to get me where I need to go? And is this someone that I can trust? Which very, very valuable. So let's just switch up a little bit here. And you mentioned your book. Let's talk about your book. What's the book called?
The book is called The Solopreneur's Money Manifesto, How to Master Your Finances and Create the Life You Want.
Okay. And what made you decide to write a book?
COVID.
Okay.
Here's where it's coming from. What made me decide is prior to COVID coming around in 2019, I sat back and I looked at my practice and I went, who do I really have the most fun working with? And so I listed out all my clients. I listed out everything, all the characteristics of each of them. And I molded them together and went, wait, they're all solopreneurs or like two person small businesses. And so I was like, this is where I have the most fun. And I had reached a level of success in my business that I was kind of getting bored. And so I was like, okay, what do I want to do for the next 20 plus years of my practice? I just turned 50. I'll probably work till I'm 70 just because it's fun. And so I basically looked back and I said, well, I'm going to start working in this area. And I started a podcast. And so I have a podcast that started April 15th of 2020. At the beginning of 2020, I started putting this podcast together and it landed about the time that everybody started to have to be home. And I've got three daughters. I got a 21-year-old who's a senior in college now, an 18-year-old who's a senior in high school, and a 15-year-old who's a sophomore in high school. And my college daughter came back, you know, from college and, you know, did classes at home. But my other two were in high school, you know, junior and freshman at the time. All of their activities got shut down. And so we were not gone multiple weekends per month. We were not gone multiple nights. We were home. And I was like, this is a perfect time. I might as well write a book. So I started outlining a book and decided to just write a book because I had the time.
Got it. So it's interesting. You and I, this podcast started right at the beginning of COVID. And this is what I really appreciate, though. And this is a message that I want to make sure that my listeners get. And that is, adversity is actually an opportunity in disguise. Okay. When you go through difficult experiences, first of all, it's an opportunity to learn. And second of all, you are looking at new ways and different ways that you can engage the world around you. So I completely agree with you. Yes, COVID is difficult and, you know, quarantining stinks and social isolation is, and, you know, it can be hard and wearing a mask everywhere, but it also is something that you say, okay, I see an opportunity in the middle of this difficult circumstance. So, all right, so you decided to, and I think this is also wise, and I'll highlight this. Mm-hmm. You said, I look at my clients and who do I enjoy working with? And I'm going to choose to focus on the area of my work that I actually enjoy. And I think my father-in-law told me a long time ago, if you find work that you enjoy, it doesn't feel like a job every day. It feels like you get to do what is enjoyable, and it's a very different thing. And I'm sure that you've got stressful days and everything, but I'm sure as you create the outline for the book, and what kind of is the overlying themes that you're looking at? Are there, like, does a book break down into sections that are easily to understand, or how does that work?
Yeah. There's three sections in the book, and the three sections of the book start off with setting yourself up for success. And we go back to, I said a little bit ago, this thing called a life wheel that I started using with my clients to help me understand where are we going. And then we go into vision, and we go into mindset, and then we go into goals and habits to help start to get the basis in place to start to achieve the goals that you're trying to do. And so the first part is setting yourself up for success is really just trying to understand, where are you going? Where are you going with your life? Where are you going with your business? And then how can we then take the finances that you have in place and put the proper planning in place to then help you achieve the vision and the goals? And so the first section is setting yourself up. The second section is planning with a purpose. Everything I always do with my clients, there has to be a purpose. And I'll kind of go on a little bit of a side tangent. One of my clients over the years would in our review, she'd be like, "Hey, we got a little extra money. What should we do?" And my question always is, what's the purpose of the money? What's the purpose of the money? And so we would then have a purpose of the money. We might put it to work, or I might say, go pay off your house, go pay off a car, go put money into savings, whatever it might be. But I always got to understand the purpose. And so now her kids are starting to grow up and her kids are graduating. They're getting jobs and they're reaching out to say, she is on behalf of them, "Hey, so-and-so wants to put some money in the account, but I know that he needs to give you a purpose. So I want to give you a heads up that I'm going to ask him for his purpose." And so I trained her to understand that just based on my workings with her. And so everything I do, there has to be a purpose. So let's say, Rob, you're a client of mine, and we go through the client, the process, and we're in the planning process, and you're outrageously profitable and you're getting killed on taxes and you're going, "Holy buckets, man, I know I need to play some catch up for retirement, but my taxes are getting killed. I'm getting beat up, and I'd really like to figure out a way to put more money away." Well, okay, well, I have a plan that any other financial advisor can do this as well. Side disclosure, but we could create a defined benefit plan for you. And if you're around 50 years of age, we could put $100,000 into a defined benefit plan for you. That is a tax deductible, above the line deduction in your tax return from your business. And that might save you 30 grand in taxes. Now, for me to look across the Zoom screen, computer, table, or on the phone, I better have a darn good purpose when I say, "Hey, Rob, I think you should write a check for 100 grand this year." What? But if you understand in the planning as to where that's going, now we have a purpose for doing that. So everything that I ever do, from I want you to put that money into savings to writing a check for $100,000 or more, is we have to have a purpose. And so we have the planning with the purpose section.
Okay.
And then the third section of the book is a case study. And we take a hypothetical client and we take them through the whole process from start to finish of analyzing their situation and then understanding what changes Watt is his name, W-A-T-T, Watt, the changes Watt needs to make. And we end the book with the plan of Watt. And so that's the basic sections. And so you get a setup, a planning with purpose, and then a putting it into action type of deal, living your life and then how to do it. And so someone can take the book, literally follow along, put it into their situation and create their own financial plan.
Okay. One of the things that I want to highlight in what you just talked about though, is that as much as you have the tools and you are giving the advice, it all starts with the client making the decision as to what is the purpose of this? What are my goals? You're there in some ways as a facilitator to help the client understand what their goals are, to help the client then have the tools and make the decisions that are going to take them to the destinations that they've decided. But primarily and foremost, it's got to be client driven. Am I properly understanding that?
100%. It's all client driven.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that I see a lot with entrepreneurs is this: they have a passion for something and a skill set that really helped them to start their business. Okay. They're doing something because they love to, in my case, speaking, right? I've got a message to share. I've got a skill set there. I'm very passionate about this. But the business side of things is not where I started, and it's not what drew me to entrepreneurship, right? I'm assuming that in addition to all of the financial concepts that you're sharing, there's also some maybe business consultation that goes in there to say, okay, have you considered this, or have you thought about structuring your business in this way? Is that part of the deal too?
Yes. Yeah. We talk about that in the book. And I also do in my practice, where we're constantly talking about business structures. Should you be an LLC? Should you be an S corp? How should you do that for planning and tax purposes? But then the business consultation of, you know, let's go back to your example. You got into this business because you love to speak. You have a message to share and you have a passion for that, but don't really love running the business. Okay, well, I'm the same way. All I really want to do is talk to people. And so I, over the years, have built a team of virtual staff, because my vision of my practice is I want to be able to run my business from anywhere in the world. And no one really needs to know where I'm at, other than when we get on a Zoom screen and you might see me at the beach or in the mountains or somewhere else. And I'm still going to be able to take care of my clients. And so I've created a team of people, of which then I share that wisdom of what I've learned of doing it with my clients, to go, okay, this is what I went through. So this might help you to then make that decision to bring on that virtual assistant, or bring on that operations manager, or bring on that back office person. There's different pieces of the puzzle that then come up in conversation. And I'll give you one more example that's just straight up business consultation. One of my clients called me up and he says, and it was Wednesday at like noon a week ago. And he says, dude, he goes, I have been on the phone literally for 2.5 days. It was right after the holiday. All of his clients were calling. He could not get any work done. He's like, what do you think I should do? He goes, do you think I should do a just a voicemail thing? Like, say I'm only going to answer my calls at this time. Should I hire somebody? What should I do? And so we were talking through options of what I thought he should do based on what I've learned over the years and how it's worked. And so that's the additional value that you get when you have someone who is living the life that you're living, or the type of life that you're running in the business, is we can start to share those ideas and help each other's businesses.
Yeah. Well, and in that way, as an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, you're the primary revenue generator. And any time that you spend doing something that is not generating revenue, think about what your hourly cost is, and would you pay someone else that amount of money to do what you're doing? Just a real simple question. Hey, so listen, Gabe, if you've shared a lot of information, I really appreciate that. If people want to get a hold of you, want to find out about the book, what's the best way to do that?
The book is available on Amazon.
Okay.
And so that's the first things. It's The Solopreneur's Money Manifesto. Just go to Amazon. You can find it. I also have a website that literally just went live for the whole book and all of my, what I would call my media. And so solopreneurmoney.com is where my podcast lives, also out in the podcast sphere. There's my YouTube channel, and then also my book. If you want to connect with me on social media, LinkedIn is the best place. And the other place is GabeNelsonFinancial.com. That then kind of shows you my financial advisory practice. And so that's all the places that you can find me.
Beautiful. I will get as many of those links and put them in the show notes as possible, just to connect folks with you. And I appreciate you. You had mentioned the resources that you have available, and you mentioned some checklists and everything. Again, great idea for people to check that out and take advantage of that. Gabe Nelson, you've been phenomenal. It is time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
I am ready.
Okay. What is the last TV show that you binge watched, or that you made sure to watch in its entirety?
The Morning Show. I started watching The Morning Show on Apple TV is the one, and I'm halfway through the second season, but I got through the first one, and now I'm on the second one now.
Okay. So you and I are kindred spirit. I'm actually waiting for the third season of Ted Lasso to come out, because very enjoyable to me. What is your favorite ice cream topping? I realize that we're in the middle of January, but if you're eating ice cream, what is the Gabe Nelson Sunday du jour?
It's got to be hot fudge.
Okay. Any marshmallow, whipped cream, cherry, anything else on there?
No, just hot fudge and then caramel. Hot fudge and caramel on ice cream would just be awesome.
All right, yes. And it's got to be straight vanilla ice cream, I'm assuming?
If it's going to be hot fudge and vanilla, yes. But if you're going to give me choices of any ice cream, then I'm going to go coffee ice cream with chocolate chips in it. That's my favorite of all time, like an espresso chip type ice cream. Right. Yes.
That works. All right, last question for you is this. You are in South Dakota, and have you eaten buffalo? And what's the best way to enjoy buffalo meat? Or you can just say, I haven't been there and done that yet.
I have eaten buffalo. And the best way that I have had it is I had a buffalo ribeye that was absolutely amazing. It was, it was very good.
More power to you. I haven't been there yet, but maybe one of these days when I'm on my way through South Dakota, I will try out the bison ribeye. Hey, Gabe Nelson, thank you very much for being with me today. You are indeed a smart person. To all my listeners, thank you for being here. And I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.